Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, here to meet your urgent and emergent medical needs, whether they are COVID-19 related or not. Medical emergencies happen when you least expect them. Whether it's a stroke, heart attack, illness, or injury, San Juan Regional Medical Center's caregivers are here to provide care to you and your loved ones. Find out more online at sanjuanregional.com.
Eleven minutes past 8 o'clock. It's Tuesday morning, January the 19th, 2021. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning into KSJE 90.9 FM over the air here in San Juan County, 103.3 FM over the air in the Durango, Colorado area, and streaming everywhere, of course, from our website at ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are watching this visual radio program. The video is streaming live this morning to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and even our Twitter account this morning. So however you have found your way here, we're glad that you are with us, because coming up in the next few moments, my guest on the program, the superintendent of schools from the Aztec School District, Kirk Carpenter, is standing by to talk with me about what has been going on in the Aztec School District the last few weeks. So we're looking forward to talking with him in the next few moments right here on KSJE. Then, of course, it's Tuesday, so later on this hour, about 8:50 a.m., I'll be talking with Amber Francisco over at the Farmington Regional Animal Shelter. Amber will be showing us some of the pets available for adoption. So stay tuned for that coming up later on this hour, 8:50 a.m. right here on KSJE. Nick Hess is up next after the news at 9:06 a.m. This morning, Nick is playing music from Bach. More of his Bach cantatas for us coming up this morning on KSJE. He is working his way through all of them, so stay tuned for that next hour. Don't forget, of course, in addition to Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, we invite you to connect with us on Instagram. And let's talk for a moment about the weather outside. It is currently 30 degrees in Farmington with snow. We're expecting snow throughout the day today, a winter weather advisory in effect for San Juan County until 5 p.m. tonight. 37 will be our high today if we make it. Overnight cloudy with a low of 22. We'll see some more sunshine tomorrow and a bit warmer with a high of 44 and an overnight low of 20 degrees tomorrow. Partly sunny with more chances for snow again on Thursday with a high of 45. Snow again in the forecast for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and maybe even Monday with high in the mid to upper 40s and overnight lows in the 20s. And so let me introduce my guest who is with us this morning. And as I do that, I will mention that Aztec schools are now on an all remote schedule today, and that also includes some other school districts in the area that I want to mention. That would be Farmington, and the Durango School District is doing all remote learning today. Those are the school districts that we've been made aware of this morning. And with that being said, let me bring in Superintendent Kirk Carpenter from the Aztec School District. And good morning. It's good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Scott. Always a pleasure. And again, we always appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk about what's happening in the school district and around the state. So thanks for having me.
Well, of course, you're very welcome. The feeling's mutual. And so it's a busy morning, I know, because you've got, as we were talking, you were first on a two-hour delay for Aztec schools and then decided to switch to all kind of remote schedule today. And you know firsthand, road conditions are not very good this morning.
No, it you know, it's amazing. I mean, a lot of times that some districts do different things. Obviously, there's some consistency in what's happening here, but I'm not sure where Bloomfield is or Central, but, you know, Farmington, early on, we called a two-hour delay. Farmington called one, and then I know Farmington went virtual, and we were still looking at things, trying to figure if that's exactly what we needed to do. But I can tell you I'm about 10 miles from my office, and within 5 miles, it was totally different road conditions, and unfortunately, some cars did not maneuver the roads quite like they needed to, so they found themselves in the shoulder. And so, yeah, the roads are very nasty, and it's something that, you know, we start that process very early. Our transportation director was up at 2 o'clock this morning, and then he has staff that gets up around 4, starts traveling around the district. I was on the phone with him early this morning, probably about 4:10, and just asking him what's happening out there. And at that point in time, we were monitoring it, so there wasn't a lot of stuff happening. And, of course, in our district, it's, you know, elevation's not much different than it is in Farmington, but it's always 5 to 10 degrees cooler. And then we started seeing some conditions even up north, certain places start setting in. So we had to make some adjustments. And obviously, we're always going to make sure we do things on the side of safety. Everybody does that. That's the purpose of that. And it's oftentimes hard for people to understand because they may drive in just a wet condition in town, but it's not in town. It's always the outlying roads that determine that. And I know we've talked about that many times. So there's a lot of decisions, a lot of people making those decisions. Obviously, it falls on the superintendents to make the final decision, but we work very closely with our transportation folks and take their advice because, again, they're out all over the district. There are several people at different points. So that's what we did today, and we'll still try to provide some food service, mainly at the in-town locations, not out of town, just because things are just too treacherous at this point. So that's where we're at, but fortunately, we have virtual, and we can still continue the learning. We're not trying to take the fun away from anybody, but what we are trying to do is reinforce what we're in the business of, and that's making sure that our students get the best learning they can. And on days like this, where we've had the pandemic, so we're equipped to do virtual, it just does not make sense to say, okay, no school today. It's a matter of school's going to be different today than in person for those that could have come back.
Sure, very good. Well, we're glad that everyone is safe, and you included on your trip, which was probably a little longer than usual to get to the office this morning, but we're glad that you're there safe to join us this morning, Kirk Carpenter. So that leads me to the other topic of discussion, because Aztec schools and others in the state have just been allowed to resume kind of face-to-face learning when the weather cooperates, and that's a step forward, I think, as to what everyone would like to see of getting more kids back in the classroom.
It is, and it's, you know, before the holidays, we actually were probably one of very few school districts to go 2 weeks after Thanksgiving with virtual and then spend one more week with in-person learning. And we chose to do that intentionally. We just feel like that contact with students, it's not a matter of just 2 days. You can't look at the quantity of things. I think you have to look at the quality of it. And so we had kids come back right before break. And a lot of schools chose not to do that. We weren't trying to be reckless in any of our decisions. We were trying to be careful and considerate in what's best for kids. And again, in saying that, that doesn't question what others are doing in other places, because every district has their own story. Every district has their own circumstances. They have their own issues they need to look at. But we were able to bring kids back the week before Christmas. And I will tell you, it was magical. From the standpoint of just those kids having contact, have some sense of normalcy at the elementary schools, even though a lot of it was more celebratory and social emotional things we were dealing with. But you know what, Scott, for some kids, that's all they have. They have school, and they need that to help them with a lot of things they're facing in life. And so we felt that was important. We also made decisions that after the New Year's, we'd go 2 weeks virtual, but the public education department came in afterwards and made that decision anyway. So we would have had to do that. But we're excited to get our kids back. Our teachers are excited. We feel like there's momentum even moving to maybe get secondary students back before too long. And I don't have that officially because there's no official decision made on that. It's not our decision. But I can tell you just from some conversations and other things, I feel like that's going to happen. And that's what we need to do. If it's just for 6 weeks, we will do it in Aztec. If it's for 3 weeks, we'll do it in Aztec, because these kids need to get back to the school, see their teachers face-to-face, see their friends, and try to get back to some sense of what normal is. And it's not a new normal. I don't like that language, because we're going to get back to what normal is, but education is going to be different. But there's not going to be a new normal. It's going to be a temporary, here's what we have to do, and eventually we will get through all of this and have kids back on normal schedules doing a lot of things. Obviously some things done differently, but in its own respect, it's going to be something that we move towards for, and we need to keep hope, because that's all our kids are hanging on to right now is hope, and we need to make sure we try to keep them moving forward so they can get ready for that transition when it occurs.
Good advice, and I think their parents too are hoping and putting a lot of effort into that, but there's a lot of things that seem to be working hopefully towards the same direction. You and I were talking before we came on the air this morning, Mr. Carpenter, about the rollout of the COVID vaccine across our state. And, of course, teachers are now being allowed the option to get the vaccine. You yourself rolled up your sleeve and got the vaccine. And I think so far side effects have been minimal for you, as far as we know, right?
Yeah, and no side effects. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised, you know, and honestly was not nervous about it. I mean, I will just, in my own opinion, everybody has to make a decision what's best for them. And obviously some people have obvious reasons they can't take the vaccination. But all of that is important, whether it's the number of cases we've had or the vaccinations we've had, to try to get to that herd score of about 80%. And that score is important, that scale, and however you want to refer to it, because that's something that will absolutely help us move forward as a county, move forward as a state, move forward in basically getting through this pandemic. I don't know that you ever conquer it. It's such a serious issue. It's something that's going to go on. But if we really want to move forward and get our county to green, which is a goal of all school districts, all city places, government businesses, then we really need to do our part. And so we have played upon our people to say, look, think about this in this way. It's a safety issue. It's even, in some respects, a moral imperative to think about your decision. We're not mandating it. We could do that. We're not doing that. But it's such an important piece of what we need to do. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't trust this, I don't trust that. Well, I've had several conversations with a lot of people that are far smarter than me, and with even people that are very important to me, about the significance of science and the studies of this. It's not something that is brand new. It's a strand that has come in that's causing this, and that's what they're trying to deal with. And so I absolutely trust what we do in our country. We're one of the leading countries in research and development of drugs and all things, for various reasons, because there are brilliant people that forget more each day than I will know in a lifetime that are working on these things. And so it is a matter of trust. But again, it's not trying to guilt people into this. It's saying, look, here's the reasons to think about it, putting the information out there, being very transparent, and let them make the decision at the end of the day. But it's such an important piece. You know, each person, the power of one person, has the ability to change things when we all come together. And coming together is something we need to do in more than one way in our country right now. But this is absolutely another example of that. And so we're excited. We have about 60% of our staff, I think close to 60%, it's in between 50 and 60, that will actually be getting the vaccination this Friday. And we'll be doing that in our district. And we've had great work by our executive director of human resources, Mr. Acree, who's helped get this lined up. He's done a tremendous job in dealing with all of these COVID situations. And so we're excited about that, because that is an important step of not only protecting people, that's first and foremost, that's absolutely the most significant important thing. However, it's also an important step in trying to move forward as a school district, getting more kids back, move forward as a county, as a city, everything, so that we can try to get back to going green and get more things going for everybody, which will be a great benefit.
Very true. Well, we hear a lot of folks, a lot of students, a lot of parents who want to get their kids back in school. This seems to be a way forward to get us to be able to do that as we vaccinate more of the teachers and staff at our public schools. And so, as you're saying, there are conversations ongoing with the public education department for that very topic of talking about secondary schools and getting those kids back into the classroom face to face.
There are, you know, there's a lot more. The conversation is different. There is no guarantee. Obviously, the Public Education Department is not the final say. They will be the relaying agency, if you will. And again, this is a very difficult situation. I don't envy the job of the governor. I respect the position. I respect the decisions that she has to make. You know, we're not always going to agree, disagree. We're going to have disagreements. I mean, that is what true democracy should be, is having those. In dealing with those, obviously, there are certain ways to deal with those and other ways you shouldn't. But that's another topic probably for another day for more smarter people. But that being said, There's a lot of data out there. I think there's a lot of things that have to be considered. The vaccinations is one thing to consider. The more we can get vaccinations available in our state, the more people we can get vaccinated. All that contributes to that side of how do we deal with this? How do we prevent more spread? How do we take care and make sure we're being as safe as possible? So all those are data points that are going to be utilized. And I do believe, this is just me saying this, I believe we're going to get our secondary students back sooner than later. But it's going to take some very careful planning. And with that being said, that was one of the things I reached out to the Public Education Department last week and said, look, secondary schools need to come back. We need to be prepared. And in order to prepare, we have to have some way to plan. So what's going to be the expectation? Cohorting, for example. To cohort in a secondary school is very difficult. Is it doable? It is in some cases, even middle schools versus high schools. But middle schools that operate on a junior high model versus a true middle school model, it's even more difficult in those. So it's going to take some very careful planning. We've already put our principals on notice to say, think about how you can cohort. Think about how you can limit contact. Think about your bell schedules. Do we need to change those to a block versus a traditional? There's a lot of conversations. But we are going to engage with this, the Public Education Department, later this afternoon because they asked if I would help attend a meeting, and then if I could suggest others that might be important to attend. And so what I'm happy to report to listeners in our county is I think there's two other superintendents in our county that will be attending that call because of their expertise and because of their ideas, and then several from around the state from both large and small districts to try to inform the Public Education Department, which is encouraging that they're listening to the practitioners on some of the things that may need to be considered. You know, even the class size, 50% versus, is that most applicable? Is a 1 to 20 cohort, is that doable? How can we do some things maybe differently at the secondaries that we're going to have to consider, because an elementary model will not fit in most secondary schools across the state due to the size of classes and size of those schools. So we're going to be having that meeting later this afternoon.
Very good. Well, we'll keep us posted, if you will. I know you will, when we talk to you again and find out what is discussed during that meeting. I wanted to ask you too, Mr. Carpenter, that I know you have been trying, and the district has been trying, to give the kind of the decision-making power to parents about whether their children could return face-to-face or stay remote. It's really a family decision. As long as you have capacity to bring these children back into the classroom, that would continue, I guess, at the secondary level, if and when you say this is going to happen this year?
Yes, it will. And, you know, we have not seen a significant change at the elementary as far as enrollment and some of those things. We just haven't seen it. We have seen it at secondary. Whether it's students moving for whatever reasons or families moving, whether it's job related, whether it's, I hate to say this, but activity or athletics related. You know,
right,
if you're
sure.
Sitting in our district, we can drive 30 miles, and then schools are participating. They're sending their secondary kids to school. They're participating in athletics and activities. And all those things are important in making the whole student. And that's coming from a former old coach, not old, former old coach, that all those things, they're all part of what is the high school experience. And so we're still advocating for that. And it's just difficult when you think about even down south, where some schools are 3 miles from a border in Texas, and you drive across the border and everybody's at school 5 days a week. Arizona, same thing. And the number of cases in those states, in many respects, are significantly worse than they are here. Again, not trying to put that out there to question what decisions are being made. We always will err on the side of safety, but they're all things we need to consider, because topography does not eliminate the pandemic. It does not stop at state lines. And so in some cases where we're doing better, we need to open those things up for our schools. We all have mitigation plans. It's not going to be a 100% preventable thing, but if families do their part, we do all of our part, then it greatly reduces what's happening at schools, and studies are showing that. So we need to pay attention to all the data and hopefully understand that when we get to March, it's going to be a full year that students have not been in school, some of those students, especially the secondary kids. And so we need to pay attention to that, even social, emotional needs that are happening across the state, because we're seeing some devastating things happen to our students. And so all of that I know is being considered. If I was talking to the governor, I'd be preaching to the choir. I know that they're considering those things, but at some point we need to look at what's happened across the country in a lot of places where they're doing this, and know that we have great plans in place. We have very strong plans, and we need to mitigate it when it happens and be prepared and give schools the ability to do that, because it's important for our kids. And parents can always make a decision whether they want to send their students or not. We respect that 100%. But the bottom line is that this is a life lesson experience that they get at the high school and the secondary schools, even the middle schools. And the learning is obviously first and foremost, but there's lots of forms of learning. So hopefully we can get back sooner. And I'm optimistic that we will.
Well, and we hope for the best for your district and all the others, Mr. Carpenter. I know there are a lot of parents that are hoping for that as well, and students, of course. And your seniors are certainly a good example of that, because it's an important year for them, and they are missing out on some of the things that being a senior would include. So that's what we are hearing from, of course. I wanted to ask you too a little bit about the statement that you said, you know, as we approach March, here we will be, you know, 12 months, a full year of, if things don't change between now and March, of really no face-to-face learning for a good majority of students in our state. And that's got to be a concern to a longtime educator like yourself. And I know the district has been putting forth some mental health policies and programs and assistance for students and families who may be in need of that, and that's got to be a really important part of the conversation moving forward too, doesn't it?
It is, and that's, you know, in some respects, I want to say first and foremost, you know, we're in the business of learning, but we're in the business of kids. And when it comes to that, you have to address all the needs of the students and all of our kids. And so mental health is a huge issue, not just for the kids, but the families. And so we've tried to make sure we've kept that in the forefront, that we've kept information going out to families about the availability, if they have issues or concerns with their students, things to watch for. I mean, this is real. This is not something that, you know, we have a pandemic and then we have a social emotional issues as well that go right in tune with that. And it's not going to get better. We have to maintain and try to make sure we address things as they come. But the biggest thing is making sure families understand there's resources out there and don't hesitate to reach in. And we've had that happen. We've had, you know, many cases, unfortunately, across our state. Scott, we've seen, you know, over 20 suicides in high school age and middle school age children, and even in some cases lower. And whether that's directly related or not to the pandemic, it's obviously an impact. There's lots of things that go into when those decisions are made, which obviously are decisions that can't be reversed, which is sad. But there's a lot of things happening, and we have to pay attention to that. But biggest thing is providing avenues, opportunities for families to get the resources they need. Some are at school, but most of the time it's in the community with those agencies. But we're constantly trying to address, and each time we're having Zoom meetings, addressing and asking how they're doing, what's happening, so that we're engaging in authentic conversations, not just focusing on learning, but focusing on life, because that to me is what is most important at this point, as far as addressing the social emotional. So it is a huge balance, but our educators are trying to do the best job they can. But we still encourage our families, at any time you have any concern, please reach in, and we will reach out to you, and we'll reach out to other places that can provide that assistance, because that is so very important.
Very good. I want to ask you too about the state legislature. The legislators will convene, I believe, today to start the 60-day session. And of course, education funding is always part of that budget that will come out at the end. Are you hearing anything about funding? I know it's related to enrollment, and that's been up and down. Of course, this has been a very odd year when you try to look at some of the numbers from year to year. What are you hearing from Santa Fe?
Well, you know, it's very early, but I will tell you that what we are hearing is that the revenue picture is not nearly as dismal as they thought it was. In fact, there could be some increases in education. When I say that, that doesn't mean raises, but it means as far as the money that's available to education. So that's promising. You know, I often say that the legislation and bills, it's like sausage. You don't want to see how it's made. You just want the end result so you can eat it. And that's kind of how legislation goes. We're hearing a lot of different things with funding. We're trying to get them to hold us harmless. There's different ideas out there as far as, when I say hold us harmless, on our numbers. If we look at our numbers this year versus last year, it's probably a 20 to 30% drop. And that's statewide for the most part. So we're trying to look at, can you look at averages? And then they want to look at, well, there's been slow decreases in enrollment, so we need to figure that in. You know, again, I think there's far smarter individuals in Santa Fe that will be addressing this. What's encouraging is we've had the preliminary conversations about this. as an association, and they understand where we are, some of the things we recommend, because it's not as easy as just letting the formula work, meaning you get funded for what you had this year, and then if there's adjustments, we'll give you those adjustments, because that money is not real time. And so therefore, many districts would not be able to open their doors, and we can't operate that way. We need to operate on the ideas that we're going to have all the kids back, and we need all of our staff back to address those kids' needs, because any delay in funding to be able to add more staff, it's not going to happen. Staff is going to find other places, other states to go work, because they have to work. So hopefully they will continue to listen. And again, there's a lot of people up there financially a lot smarter than I am. You know, I have trouble balancing my checkbook. So it's going to be an interesting session nonetheless, especially with it even being virtual. But I'm optimistic that even through our local delegation, which we were able to meet with and share all of our concerns, that common sense will prevail. I know that you hate to say that sometimes, and you say it with reservation, but I think it will prevail in this situation, and that we will be okay in the end. But the biggest thing is that they continue to listen, and listen to the educators. That policymakers cannot make decisions on education and regulation without listening to those that are in the districts doing the things they're doing. And so it's up to us to tell our story as well. So we have some advocacy to do, and we have some work to do as well. It's not just a matter, in this case, of hoping things turn out. You need to advocate and make sure people are listening and understand your story very distinctly, so that they're making informed decisions from educators, and we're not making decisions just based off legislators.
Okay, very good. And final topic this morning, Mr. Carpenter, is the search for your replacement. And of course, you're irreplaceable, so it would just be a new superintendent for the Aztec schools. But as we discussed last month, you have submitted your plans to retire from the Aztec School District at the end of this school year. And so the superintendent search process will begin, or is beginning now.
It is. We passed the process in our last board meeting. I'm very happy to report Dr. Linda Paul, who's a former superintendent, will be leading that search. It's a very comprehensive process. You know, I can't tell you, it's with some apprehension to even talk about, because 31 years in the district, this district has blessed me more than I could ever bless this district. And I'm absolutely going to miss it. But at the same time, it's time for me to do some other things. And they have a great process in place. It will involve community involvement all the way down to, you know, the simple things of advertising, where to advertise. And it's a proven operation that the New Mexico School Board Association offers through some of these consultants. And but it's a different thing for our district. Our district hasn't really done a superintendent search probably in over 30 years because of the tenure of the superintendents in this district. And that speaks to the quality of people that you're surrounded with, and me included. I mean, it's my 12th year. I mean, my 12th year is this, and which is hard to believe, although you can look and see that it's real. It's all this is real from 31 years of education. But it's going to be a great process, and I have full confidence that the board is going to do a great job. We have a great board, and they have the same concerns as we do and what's important in Aztec. And most importantly, it's not just about skill set. It's finding somebody that fits in this district, not for status quo. You always want to go forward, and there's plenty of things that obviously I have not been able to accomplish that they will be able to. And so I know they will get somebody even better. And I appreciate your kind words, but that's what I'm excited about. And I know that the board's excited about looking at that, even though they may not want the change, but it's going to happen. So we'll move forward, and it'll be a good thing for everybody in the end.
All right. Well, and as you mentioned, that if folks are wanting to get involved with this process, there will be avenues for the public to get involved, the school board, of course, to be involved in the search process, and even staff and others as well. That's how it's being designed.
Yes, and I think the most important thing is, you know, there are many great things over the course of my superintendency, and I hate even the word my, because it's really our superintendency, because there's so many people we work with and collaborate with to make some positive changes. But that being said, there's also other things that need to be improved, and that's okay, because that's what change is all about. And so, again, I think any input that the public may have, contact your board member. Let them know what you might be looking for in their new superintendent. All those things are important. It's important, again, that this superintendent is not just about having a great resume, but that this superintendent is about having a great skill set, because there's a lot of things that could be taught on the job. But one thing you can't teach is somebody fitting into a culture that needs to exist in our district, and somebody that can come in and lead and get people on board to help make the changes. Because a superintendent may be considered a captain of a ship, but a captain of a ship has to have a bunch of people around him to make things work, and that's what's happened in our district. Anything that's happened positive, Scott's been because I've listened to people. If there's been some bad things, it's probably because I tried to make a decision and think it was a good idea, because you're only as good as who you surround yourself with, and there's a lot of great people here. So all that's going to have to factor into the decision.
Well, that's a good lesson learned. That's true. And so you mentioned we need to call you an old coach. Does that mean we'll call you an old superintendent as well in June?
Yeah, you know, that'd probably be one of the nicest things you could call me. I imagine there's other things that people may want to put references in on some names, but that's okay too. It's, you know, if you're not making some decisions that ruffle some feathers, then I don't think you've done your job. So, yeah, I think old is probably good. We'll leave the D off of it for right now.
Yeah.
And although some of my friends may differ, they may say, well, you do look old, but that's okay. This is not old, it's experience, and that's the way I look at it. So this is an experienced educator's face that you're seeing on screen. And so that's how I'm going to refer to it. Old, not old, old and experienced.
There you go. And there, perfect. I'm right there with you. So I appreciate that. Mr. Carpenter, thank you for your time. I look forward to our conversation next month. But thank you very much for being with me this morning on a busy morning for Aztec Schools.
Thank you, Scott. And again, the people out there, just be careful. It's slick out there. The road crews are out. But there's also a lot of people out that sometimes that feel like they can just move through things, and they find themselves all over the road. So I just ask people to be careful and be patient as they travel out today. And we appreciate all the support we're getting from you and everybody else in the community as we move through all this pandemic. And we will get through it together. I keep saying that, and I firmly believe it. We just have to all do our part. And that means all the little things that we continue to do so that we can get our county to green. And that's another important message. So Scott, again, thank you for always having me on this. I enjoyed each month. Enjoy the conversation, our friendship, and the collaboration we do as well. So thank you.
You're very welcome. And as my parents always used to tell me, it's not necessarily your driving to be concerned about. It's the other guys and ladies. So do be careful on the roads, everyone. But Mr. Carpenter, thank you very much. That's Kirk Carpenter, Superintendent of Schools from the Aztec School District, my guest here on KSJE. And back with more in just a moment, everyone.